I can't believe it. As I live and breathe, look what? Who it is across the table from me today.
It hasn't been that long.
Chip Bunger.
Yep.
You sly dog.
One of the namesakes for the show.
I know.
Got to show up every once in a while.
Yeah, you're a title character, man. Yeah. You got to be You got to be here.
I
got
to be here. I can't take off forever.
I've been making excuses for you.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm back in action, everybody.
From his Australian walkabout.
Yeah. Well, you got to go there sometime.
He learned a didgeridoo.
It was dandy for sure.
Yeah. Yep. He tried to play it on Sunday, and Gene told him to didgeridoo.
Yeah. But I didgeridooed. Speaking of didgeridoo, Eric, today is day 80.
Sure is.
And it's March the 20th. We're going to read Joshua 4, 5, and 6. Jump ahead to 1 Peter 1.
Wow.
Big shout out to Mike and Debbie Miles.
Oh, yeah.
They wrote us a little Chip and Eric and Friends. Hoppy Easter.
Hoppy Easter. Risen. Do you get it because of the bunnies, like Easter bunnies hop?
Yeah, and there's some peeps here.
Yeah.
Some party cake peeps, Dr. Pepper peeps, sparkly wild berry peeps, and there were some cotton candy peeps here at one point.
Yeah, I'm told. Don't know where they went, though.
Yeah, they went somewhere.
Very interesting.
Yeah, great artwork from... I guess that's Mike, maybe Debbie?
Oh, that's got to be Mike.
Got to be Mike, yeah. Not Debbie, Mike. Yeah. She can't do that.
No, absolutely
never.
Not.
She's
yeah.
not even close.
Yeah, sorry, Debbie.
Yeah.
There's no right. way. No, I just see the coffee cup front and center. There's no way yeah. it wasn't Mike.
Well, that's...
These are his three emojis that he always sends, too.
Yeah.
The little angel guy and yep. then the coffee. And the... Yeah, it's Mike. That's yeah. his calling card. That's his signature.
He is missing the praying hands emoji, though. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's been recent.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mike, get on that, please. Please yeah. add that to the artwork.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Mike. It'd be really
you have
great
nothing
to,
else to do.
Just a little bit of consistency once in a while.
Yeah, goes a long way.
It goes a long way. Hey.
Yep.
We're starting a new book of the Bible today.
Oh. Yeah, we are.
1 Peter. Pretty excited. We started a new book of the Bible yesterday with Joshua.
Joshua.
Now we're starting a new book of the Bible today with 1 Peter. So better get into it, man.
Let's do it.
Joshua chapter 4, memorials to crossing the Jordan, to the Jordan crossing, excuse me. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across.' These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever." So the men did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are still there to this day. The priests who were carrying the Ark stood in the middle of the river until all of the Lord's commands that Moses had given to Joshua were carried out. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed, and when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over with the Ark of the Lord as the people watched. The armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan just as Moses had directed. These armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over to the plains of Jericho. That day, the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites, and for the rest of his life they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the riverbed." So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed and their feet were on high ground, the water of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' And you can tell them, 'This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever."
Joshua chapter 5. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, They lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. Israel reestablishes covenant ceremonies. At that time, the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeoth Haraloth. Joshua had to circumcise them because of all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in the battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land. It was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan.
The Lord's commander confronts Joshua. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or foe? Neither one, he replied. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. I'm at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did as he was told.
Joshua chapter 6, the fall of Jericho. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, and with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed their patterns for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble in the camp of Israel. Everything you made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the 2 spies, keep your promise, go to the prostitute's house, and bring her out along with all her family. Then the men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, and her relatives. who were with her in the house because she had hidden in the spies. Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua invoked this curse. May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of the firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land.
Cool. Okay, off we go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Greetings from Peter. This letter's from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace.
The hope of eternal life. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen.
A call to holy living. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God has paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. And that is our reading today. Okay. That is our reading today.
So good.
Those Jericho walls. Gotta come down, come down. Oh. All right. So we read that. Two questions of mine.
We did.
How does this help me love God more or better? How does this help me love others more or better? So Chip, how does this help you love God more?
This helps me love God more because I know that he never forgets. He never forgets the bad, but he moves on from that, which is awesome, and forgives us. But he never forgets the good, and I love that. And I love the standing stones. I think I probably mentioned it last year when we read through it, or the year and both years. I don't know. I love the standing stones crossing the Jordan as a reminder of God's goodness in our life. And there are so many of those things in our lives that we can look to.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of goes, and it motivates me when we read 1 Peter that we're to be holy because he is holy. And when we think about who he is and what he did, yeah. what he's done for mm-hmm. us, that will really motivate us and move us to be holy as he is holy, because we remember that God remembers and has done these things in our life that are very special and powerful.
Yeah.
And so that helps me love God more.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I think you probably have mentioned it before, and I think that's great.
I'll probably mention it again.
Probably.
I love the standing
stones. Oh, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Somewhere I'll mention it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, anyway, that's great. I love that. Yeah, God remembers. You know, one of the things that I love about this passage is, yeah, God remembers, and he wants us to remember what he's done. He also wants us to remember our promises, and I think we can love each other better when we do remember our promises. And they made a promise to Rahab that
yeah.
they would yep. preserve her, that mm-hmm. they would save her family, that they would, you know, the spies made that promise.
Yeah.
And Joshua honored it on their behalf. And I just think that's cool. You know, they didn't gain anything from that.
Yeah.
Well, they did, but they didn't know they were going to gain anything from that. You know, Rahab is part of the lineage of King David.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah, and ultimately
sure.
Jesus.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. But like, they didn't know that that was going to be anything special. They just thought, yeah, okay, this prostitute said that, you know, she hid the spies and we agreed to save her, so we'll go and save her. So like, they kept their promise. And I think that that is amazing when we keep our promises to each other, especially when we don't stand to gain anything from it. Man, what an act of love.
It really is. I mean, you think about that time. Like, it just seems like, okay, that's an easy thing to do. I'm sure that would a very hard thing to do. Like, in the midst of battle, chaos, yelling, death, screaming, oh yeah, we got to go save this.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're, you know, it's like, yeah. do we have to? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, when you think about it.
And the great thing is, it wasn't on the minds of every person that went into Jericho. It was on the mind of Joshua.
True.
To keep the word.
Yeah.
You know, it was on his mind, you know, such a great leader. But you're right, absolutely. When you have command and control in that battle situation, mm-hmm. and he's watching his guys, and he's like, okay, I've got, you know, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh going in first, and they're taking care of this, they're going to do that. And he still finds, you know, the awareness in his mind. It was that important to him. Like, that's a great thing to point out. It was that important to him.
Yeah.
To send those spies to save Rahab's family. And then they moved them. Like, they moved them. Mm-hmm. So, like, Rahab had stuff. They took her stuff and they put her in a place outside the camp, but still near it, you know, and near enough to it that she would find an Israelite husband and that they would have a son named Boaz.
Boaz, yeah.
You know, so just very interesting.
That's cool.
You know, and I just,
fits together.
Keeping our promises, I think, is a great way to love each other better.
It is good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of good, you guys are good. Good job.
Yeah, you are.
Way to go.
Great work.
So proud of you.
Oh, my goodness. 80 days.
Yeah, 80 days, Eric.
You know, some people have made it around the world in that long.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't.
But next year.
Some people have. Yeah.
Chip and Eric, go around the world.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Allison has a budget for that, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it probably wouldn't cost her that much. She's already got that hot air balloon.
Well, that's true.
She keeps that hot air balloon.
I don't know if I want to do a hot air balloon around
She's
the
got
world.
That hot air balloon tethered in her front yard.
Yeah. I know the city's really getting on her about
I
that.
Know,
yeah, there's
I
like
know.
Some ordinance about hot air balloons in your front yard.
Well, now there is. Yeah. There wasn't before,
well, I
but
don't get it,
just
but,
because of her.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll work on that. And you guys keep working on reading the word. Way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Proud of you guys.
Yep.